Hey there, are you sitting down? Good, because Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is here, and you can shop it right from your couch. It's Wayfair's Black Friday in July sale, and it's on now. Right now, you can score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair. Snag outdoor furniture and decor at up to 60% off. Get area rugs for every room at up to 80% off. And refresh your sleep space with up to 60% off bedroom furniture. Plus, score amazing doorbuster deals and 24-hour surprise flash deals. And get it all with fast and free shipping on everything. Yep, even the big stuff. Right to your door. These are Wayfair's lowest prices of the summer. And did we mention they only last 5 days? So don't wait. Head to Wayfair.com today to score up to 80% off Wayfair's biggest sale of the season before it fizzles out. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday in July sale now through July 28th, only at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Welcome to another episode of The Good Listening To Show, your life and times with me, Chris Grimes. The storytelling show that features The Clearing, where all good questions come to get asked and all good stories come to be told. And where all my guests have two things in common. They're all creative individuals and all with an interesting story to tell. There are some lovely storytelling metaphors. A clearing, a tree, a juicy storytelling exercise called 5-4-3-2-1, some alchemy, some gold, a cheeky bit of Shakespeare, and a cake. So it's all to play for. So yes, welcome to The Good Listening To Show, your life and times with me, Chris Grimes. Are you sitting comfortably? Then we shall begin. And begin we will. Ladies and gentlemen, on LinkedIn and broadcasting live across the world, welcome to another very exciting episode of The Good Listening To Show, Stories of Distinction and Genius. And today is a special Brand Strand Founder Story episode. And I'm absolutely thrilled and delighted to welcome, get this full name, Rafaela Reeb-Ilgenfritz. To the Good Listening To Show. Rafaela is a co-presenter on UK Health Radio. That's just me combining a bit of happy smoke because both of us present on UK Health Radio. But she is the creative director of UK Health Radio. And together with her wonderful husband, Johan Ilgenfritz, they form the dynamic duo that run UK Health Radio, which has a global audience reach across 54 countries of 1.4 million listeners and growing. And I can't tell you how thrilled I am to have you here, Rafaela. Your own show, and you'll be able to speak in a couple of moments, I promise, is Stoma for Life. And you're all about bowel cancer awareness as a survivor yourself. So lovely to have you here. And life as an ostomate. And I hope I've pronounced that correctly. So you're very welcome to the Good Listening To Show, Rafaela Reeb-Ilgenfritz.
Hello, Chris. It was so good for you to invite me. And thank you for the lovely introduction.
And you've got such a beautiful name. I can't help but mention that, first of all, the name to conjure. I know it's a double barrel based on your maiden name also, but and also you're keeping Rafaela Reeb as hostess with the mostess with Stoma for Life. So just tell us the story behind the story of your wonderful name.
Oh, well, I mean, I kept my maiden name because I was always Reeb. And when I got married, I thought, okay, this is a new name. I can't identify with it yet. So I just added it on. But looking back now, I think it was a good thing because, like you said, I kept it now for my show, Stoma for Life, as Rafaela Reeb, which is much shorter and sweeter, I think. But if you would call me Mrs. Reeb, I most probably wouldn't react because I do feel like an Ilgenfritz now. I've been married for 32 years and but that's just the way it is now. So that's how this name came about.
And I did deliberately call you the dynamic duo of UK Health Radio. Johan himself has an extraordinary story of survival, cancer diagnosis in his case. What is so extraordinary is you both find yourself at the forefront of the world's number one talk health radio. But very interestingly and profoundly, and I don't know why this happened to you, but it's sort of a good thing that it has, I suppose, in terms of what you've done with it all. You two have had an extraordinary personal tsunami in your own health of recent years.
Yes, yes. Well, unfortunately, but then again, fortunately, because it's led us to an incredible journey. Now, I don't know if I must go into Johan's story, but obviously his his path was paved when he had his own cancer diagnosis, and that's when he created UK Health Radio. And I've been at his side all this time, obviously watching from the sideline in the beginning and then being involved more and more, because I remember one day he asked me, would you be interested in doing a magazine? And I'd been in newspaper design, my professional career as a graphic designer, which was dormant for that time because I freelanced. But my career was actually, I flew for an international airline for almost 30 years. So I was juggling the parenthood, the wife, the family life, and freelancing, and then flying. So when he asked me, I thought, oh, this is a good chance to get back into it, into design as such, and also magazine design, because like I said, I come from newspaper design. So little did I know that this is going to be a monthly magazine. He never said so. He just made it sound as if it was like a one-off or just maybe once a year. So I started doing this and I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I must say it's been so great to combine what we're both passionate about, because prior to me actually doing the magazine, I'd said to Johan, you know, there's so much doom and gloom out there. Why do magazines always have to portray the negative? Why can't there be stories that are uplifting? Now, that's exactly what Health Triangle magazine tries to be, uplifting. Even if the story itself might be one of ailment, disease, diagnosis, it always has a positive connotation, because that's what we both firmly believe in, seeing things in a positive way. And even if you dealt perhaps a bad card that might be, in other people's viewpoint, lemons, for all I know,
yes.
we try and make lemonade, and we try and make the best out of it. And we try and not let that define us.
And that's a beautiful expression, if life gives you lemons, make lemonade. And of course, the magazine is called, it's Health Triangle Magazine. I know you've mentioned it, but I just want to mention that again. And it's attached to the extraordinary resource for anyone with practically any ailment. UK Health Radio is an extraordinary resource to bring succour and ease, and also a community together of people that may be experiencing life's tsunamis and life's lemons, as you said. And also, you said a few paragraphs ago, you know, there you were flying. You were literally flying because you were a purser for 30 years. We had a quick comic exchange yesterday about whether you wanted to name the name of the airline. And I don't know where you ended up with that. Where did you land with that?
Well, I landed with, yes, I will share. I flew for Lufthansa for 30 years. And yeah, was a great time. But that chapter of my life is closed now, because during COVID, I must sadly say that COVID killed my job for me, because the airline industry, as you know, went through a very difficult time. I was at home for months on end, not being called up. And then once things started going, it was extremely difficult, because I commuted, obviously, I live in London and I commuted to Germany, and it was extremely difficult. And then I felt as if I was just being a sheriff, telling people to keep their masks up. And it was just not the way I wanted to work anymore. And I always said, I'll work as long as I like it. And I actually started off in the airline industry only for 18 months. I wanted to just take a break from design, because I had a very high-powered job in Johannesburg. And then Johan and myself, we moved to Europe, and I thought, oh, let me do something completely different just for a while, just to see. I was still young. We had no children. And then I got this idea of just perhaps being an air hostess for a short time, just to, you know, to see what it's like. And I must say, I loved it so much. It was almost 30 years, but I combined my passion of art and travel, which I thought was actually a cool life, really. And I said to myself, as soon as I don't like it anymore, I'll stop. And that's what I did. I took early retirement. And just as I embarked on that new journey, I got diagnosed with bowel cancer. So
Yes, which is the main hub and meat of what we're going to be talking about. Just one final thing about Lufthansa and the fact that you were a purser. And in researching you, it said that it took you rather exotically to all the corners of the globe. And what the comedian in me thinks, this is a world exclusive. The world is actually square with four corners. But you've been to all four corners, which is lovely.
Yes, yes, I have. I must say, I've only seen about half of the world. If you put it in terms of countries, I think we've got about just over 190 countries in the world, and I've been to 81 countries.
Yes,
professionally. And I do know, or there was a stage of my life where I knew New York better or Singapore better than my own hometown because I was there so frequently. And it was a great life, but you know, when you look back and you can say, yeah, I did that and I don't have any remorse or any grudges or anything. I had a great time.
And there's some lovely maths in there. You said 81 countries. I know that UK Health Radio gets broadcast across 54 countries. So there's a bit of catching up to do to catch up with where you flew to.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, that's what we aim to do every single day, to get it out there on all corners of the earth.
Yes. And it's my great privilege and pleasure and delight to have you in the Good Listening To show clearing. There's going to be a clearing, a tree, a lovely, juicy storytelling exercise called 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. There's going to be some alchemy, some gold, a couple of random squirrels, a cheeky bit of Shakespeare, a golden baton and a cake. So it's all to play for. And I know that we're going to talk particularly about you being, and is the expression ostomate? Have I pronounced that correctly?
Yes, I am what you call an ostomate now. I live in an ostomy because I have a colostomy.
Thank you for clarifying that too. So, welcome to the show. Here we go. So where is what is, first of all, Rafaela Ariebe-Ilgenfritz? Where is a clearing? Where is your serious happy place, would you say?
You know, there are so many places that I had to feel happy when I flew, because obviously flying was, you're always surrounded by people. So for a long time when I was by myself, even on a plane, you do have time to be by yourself. There are break times, especially on long haul flights. Sometimes we'd have like 4 hours to ourselves where we would actually be able to sleep. Now you can't always sleep when you get directed to do so. So my happy place was when I learned to meditate, and meditate at any time, in any given time. So I don't really need a place as such to do that, because I find it's up here in my head in any case. But if you do ask me, where is my happy place? I've just redecorated my lounge. And every time I walk into my lounge, I just go, that's my happy place at my home at the moment, because the colors are lovely, the feel is great, I can meditate there as well, but I can be there with my family, I can be there by myself, family, friends. So that's my happy place at the moment.
I love that. It's a duality of your lounge you've just curated, but also the mindscape of being at peace whenever you choose to meditate.
Yeah.
If I may just say, that resonates so well. Very sadly, in my own life, my father had his funeral last Monday. And interestingly, as a parallel, he too said he doesn't need anywhere physical. He goes into a sort of happy state almost between his ears. And my conclusion, and I said part of this in his eulogy, was that I think the lovely thing is he never really worried very much. Mm-hmm. And of course, if you can meditate, that does prevent you from worrying, because it means you're able to return to the present.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And there was a time in my life where I couldn't do it, especially during COVID. I found COVID to be an extremely worrying time. Yes. And I think that sort of contributed to me being diagnosed as well, because stress and worry does do a lot of damage to your body.
Absolutely. I know we're going to get more into that as we now go through the construct.
The station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Good, I'm going to arrive with a tree now, if I may, in your clearing, which always has a slight comedy to it. I'm either going to be in an aeroplane while you're trying to sleep with a, sorry, meditate, not sleep, that's the whole point, with a tree as I shake your tree to see which storytelling apples fall out, or I could arrive in your newly curated front room. What would you prefer?
Well, let's have the front room.
Wonderful. So here I am shaking your tree to see which storytelling apples fall out. How'd you like these apples? And this is where you've been kind enough to have taken 5 minutes, Raffaella, to have thought about four things that have shaped you, three things that inspire you, two things that never fail to grab your attention and borrow from the film Up. That's where the squirrels will come in. You know, what are your monsters of distraction? Your squirrels, squirrels that never fail to distract you. And then the one is a quirky or unusual fact about you we couldn't possibly know about you until you tell us. It's not a memory test, so let's go back to curating you through shaking the canopy of your tree as you see fit. So four things that have shaped you, Raffaella.
Well, I grew up in South Africa. My parents immigrated when I was 5 years old, and I must certainly say that living in a foreign country, growing up completely different to the country that I was born in, has definitely shaped me. So I would say, yes, growing up in a foreign country, growing up in South Africa as well. I mean, South Africa was politically quite involved, and it was a completely different time to what it is now when I grew up there. So that has definitely shaped me. I mean, I met my husband there, I got married there, and I still have my parents there. So it has been a big part of my life. I think art school has shaped me definitely, because after school, I was not sure what I was going to do. My mom herself is an artist, and I've always been very arty, but I never had art as a subject in school. There was no subject for art. So she actually said, well, look, if you don't know what to do, why don't you start doing art? Because you've always been arty. And that sort of, yes, it has definitely shaped my life. And then, of course, air travel, flying for 30 years, seeing really so much that other people will not get to see in their lifetime. I'm extremely grateful for that. So travel and working for an airline has definitely shaped my life. And in most recent terms, obviously being diagnosed with cancer. I actually don't like saying that, but my diagnosis obviously has shaped my path that I'm on at the current state of my life.
Absolutely. And just going back a couple of steps, are you a sibling with other brothers and sisters, or are you on your own?
No, I still have a brother.
Yeah. And I love the fact you talked about your mum in the present tense. She's still with us. Is your father still with us as well?
Awesome.
Delighted to hear that. And anything else you'd like to tell us about the shapeage? I mean, you might want to talk, but there is a deliberate opportunity later to talk about your wonderful program, Stoma for Life. And I know that's what we should properly talk about, because how you can help raise awareness in the whole arena of bowel cancer. So talk about that when you like, where you like, however you like.
I don't know if I have anything else to add to those elements. I'm sure. Yeah, something might just come to mind, and then I'll let you know.
Wonderful. So now we're on to three things that inspire you.
Well, being arty, obviously art inspires me all the time, and I'm really on the lookout for things that could be also turned into art. I think now that I'm not flying anymore, my life's completely different, and I see things differently as well. But yes, art always inspires me, and nature. I absolutely love nature. I'm a very keen member at Kew Garden. I go to Kew on a regular basis, because that's sort of that's also one of my happy places, I'd say. There you go. I've got another happy place.
Love that. Yes, we've got three now.
So because it's nature, it's you can go for the tropical rainforest, which obviously takes me back to all the tropical places I've been. You can go to the desert, all the desert places I've been. So it's everything in one for me. Kew Garden is also my happy place. So nature, obviously. And
And in researching you, sorry to interrupt you, I noticed that you and Johan love to walk together, and you call it Imagineering. Yeah. And you thank Walt Disney for that in the research that I saw as to where you got that expression from. But when you have your greatest ideas, you're doing it outdoors.
Yeah, we do. And we do go for a lot of walks. I mean, the benefits are obvious for going for walks, but we sort of, I don't know, we have not stopped talking ever since we got together, which is, 33 years ago. So we always have a lot to talk about. And then we do our imagineering, yes.
And it is a lovely expression, and it links to that Nietzsche quote, the best ideas happen outdoors, and if in doubt, walk it out, as a mental health strategy in any case, to help us all.
Absolutely. No, that is so, so important. And I challenge you to find a person that hasn't got a smile on their face when they walk outdoors. And, you know, even rain has its beauty. People in Germany, like I grew up in Germany, and then I went back to Germany after 24 years. So I lived in Germany when I was also working for Lufthansa, and we lived right in the north of Germany in Hamburg. And there we've got the saying, you know, there is no bad weather, there's just bad clothing.
Yes, wrong equipment. Yes, exactly.
Exactly. So, yes, like I said, I'll challenge anybody to not have a smile on their face when they go outdoors in nature.
And your length of time in Germany and South Africa does explain your very wonderful accent, because it on face value, and I'm fascinated and intrigued by accent and dialect. I was, for a while when I first met you, I was guessing whether you were German or South African, but you're sort of both, but I know you're South African.
Yeah. Well, look, South African, I suppose at heart, but German in my passport, I'd say, and English in my adopted country now. I absolutely love living in England.
Wonderful. And Kew Gardens is the third bonus clearing you gave us. I think that's the three things that inspire you, unless I cut you off before you did the third one. Is that right?
No, I would put family in there, obviously, because I've got two children, and they are just inspiring to see the world through their eyes is incredible, if I can call it that. It's absolute blessing to be a mom of two incredible boys.
And how old are they both now?
16 and 25.
Lovely. Mine are 25 and 17, so that's very relatable.
Yes.
Okay, now we're coming up to two things that squirrels never fail to grab your attention. It's borrowed from the film Up, where the dog goes, oh, squirrels, and it's just distracted. So what are your two squirrels of distraction, would you say, Raffaella?
Yeah, well, I'd have to put art in there again, and also nature, because you know, if it's just a leaf on the floor, I would most probably take out my camera and capture the raindrops on it. Or if it's a sunrise or a sunset, I always forever have my phone with me, which obviously is my camera, and not my phone. I actually see my phone as my camera. Funny that things have gone full circle, but it's so much easier. When I started my travels, I really had to have a proper camera with me in order to actually take pictures. And ever since we've had mobile phones, I've got thousands and thousands of photographs, and so much easier. So,
and of course, as creative director of UK Health Triangle magazine, it's all about the imagery. There, it's a really wonderful magazine full of the talent that you bring to bear to the pages of same.
Yeah.
And now, a quirky or unusual fact about you we couldn't possibly know about you until you tell us.
Yes. Now you will not. Nobody will really know this except if they really know me well. I am an absolute. I must be the world's biggest sumo wrestling fan.
Oh, that's a first in the clearing of the Good Listening To show. Tell us a bit more about that.
It's about 30 years ago that I was introduced to sumo wrestling. I actually saw it on TV, and I was totally intrigued, because obviously a lot of people say, oh, it's just fat men that are like wrestling. No, there is so much more to it, because it's a very deep-rooted, I think, in the Shinto religion of Japan. It's rooted in there for literally 1,500 years. And as I said, I love nature, and it also combines nature. It combines all these rituals. And I really, when I was first introduced to it, I was very intrigued by it, because the person that moderated this particular basho, he gave so much insight, and I thought, wow, that is just so fascinating, because there's much more to it than just wrestlers.
Yes.
And, I got myself a book on it and started reading up on it. And honestly, that is on my bucket list still today. Even though I've been to Japan countless of times, I have not been to Abasha, which is the tournament. And I really would like to go there and see it live.
And of course, the law of social proof, if you say it out loud, you're much more likely to do it. So this is a world exclusive. You are going to do that and tick that off the bucket list.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I'm sure Johan's listening. That's your next trip sorted right there.
Yeah, yeah. He'll join me gladly.
And we have so much of Japanese philosophy and culture to thank for things like ikigai, which is that idea of purpose, you know, the intersection point. That's probably got nothing to do with sumo wrestling, but I love tuning into Japanese philosophy about mindfulness, coming full circle back to meditation that you've already talked about.
Yes, and that sort of encompasses it all. And it is the oldest, one of the oldest still practicing sports in the world. So, yeah.
So presumably you're spectating, not wanting to participate.
Yeah, just spectating. And it's actually quite funny because, obviously, I don't speak Japanese, but there's so much terminology that I already have picked up. So I could help somebody who has no idea of sumo. I could explain a lot by just sitting in the audience. So.
And I've just realized I've never thought anything for. Is there a female? Sorry, this is a really stupid question, culturally ignorant, but is there a female equivalent of sumo wrestling? Because you don't see, if I may, fat women doing the same thing.
No.
I know it's not just that. Sorry, I was just riffing on what
you said. It's traditionally kept with the male. And it actually, there are hardly any Western wrestlers because I think there might be one or two, a Bulgarian one, Argentinian one, and I mean, the biggest Yokozuna, the one in modern times is Hakoho, he was from Mongolia. So, but usually it is kept in those nations. There are hardly any Westerners doing it.
Yes. And what's so lovely, by the way, is I know how wonderfully slight Johan is. So it would be hugely ironic if on the trip you go, any volunteers, and you hurl Johan into the arena.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
We've shaken your tree and we did that deliciously. Thank you so much. Now we're going to stay in the clearing, move away from the tree. And next in the construct of the show, we talk about alchemy and gold, Rafaela. When you're at purpose and in flow, and this could be a deliberate place, obviously, to talk about Stoma for Life, which is your current thing that you're very passionate and engaged and in the center of. By the way, congratulations for the culmination of season one for you. You've done your first 25 episodes of season one.
Thank
and I know you.
You
do it bi-weekly. Anyway, you don't have to talk about that specifically, but alchemy and gold, when you're at purpose, talking about ikigai, as we did just now, what are you absolutely happiest doing in what you're here to reveal to the world?
Yeah, well, happiest, obviously, art, creating art. I have just discovered that very close to where I live, there is a art hub and they have actually have live drawings once a week. So I'm happiest when I can draw, be it live drawing, be it any kind of drawing. I'm happiest and I can actually switch off. I'm in my own meditative world. That's when I'm happiest. But obviously, that's just me, and I'm not an island, even though I might live on an island. And I also want to obviously bring something more to the world. And I'm happiest when I also can share with what I've gone through with other people, for them perhaps to not have so many questions going into life-changing surgery that I had.
Yes. And I know that the cut and thrust of Stoma for Life is to demystify, debunk, I suppose, destigmatize and normalize the idea of wearing a colostomy. And you're a very sort of beautiful trailblazer in that regard, if I might say, to make it more not so unusual, because there's some very profound statistics that I know you unpack as well about there's much more prevalence of people with colostomy bags than we truly appreciate.
Yeah, I mean, there are so many out there. You might just have met somebody that has one and you don't even know it. It's something that you will actually not really share or talk about. And I actually, for a long time after having received my permanent colostomy, thought I would not share it. But then I thought, well, why not share it? Because there's nothing to be shameful about. It's a fact, and it saved my life. And it might just help other people that are in the same situation to perhaps decide for it, because a lot of people still cannot imagine living like that. Stoma doesn't always happen overnight. With me, it was very sudden. I had only 6 days to put my head around it. But some people might have a chronic illness, which really might just rob them of the quality of life. And an ostomy does give that back to you.
And the title that you have is very clever. I know you've thought it through. Stoma for life, almost like a burdensome thing. But actually, it's stoma for life, because it's not the end. It's the beginning of just a new path for survival.
Exactly. It saved my life, and I have it for life. So, to be very honest, I did not know what a stoma was until I sat in my consultant's office and he presented me with my diagnosis. I had no idea. I knew then, obviously, when he explained it, what it is, but I'd never heard the terminology stoma used before.
And in fact, I hadn't heard life as an ostomate, if I've still pronounced that correctly, until I spoke to you a couple of days ago. So it is extraordinary, an unknown unknown until you know it.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where Stoma for Life comes in. I want to help people that, like I said, either presented with a diagnosis or know anybody that is going through this, just to demystify it, help them understand it, and make it not as taboo to talk about. And
And of all the people to be married to in all of the world, you're married to the man who started UK Health Radio because of his own health diagnosis. And how wonderful that your own portal is there for you to be side by side as the dynamic duo of UK Health Radio. And a sincere thanks from me again at this point for having me as one of your hosts within it. I love the fact that it gives me a huge global audience to amplify what I'm up to as well, which I'm really grateful for. And now we're going to award you with a cake. Hurrah! So you get to put a cherry on the cake, Raffaella. And this is stuff like now in this storytelling suffused final metaphor. What's a favorite inspirational quote that's always given you succor and pulled you towards your future?
Happiness is an inside job. I think that is sort of where I think, wow, that is really good. Because it makes you think a little bit about what is happiness to start off with. And you can be happy with anything in life as long as you let it be. You have to let yourself be happy.
I'm thinking of a burst of Let It Be by the Beatles suddenly there as well. That was lovely, absolutely lovely quote. Happiness is an inside job. Beautiful quote. What's the best piece of advice you've ever been given, Raffaella?
You know, it's a difficult one because there are so many things you pick up during your life. But I think my best piece of advice, if I think back now, my mother-in-law always used to say, everything happens for a reason. And I was totally annoyed when I heard that, because I thought, you know, at the moment, I don't want to hear that. You know, at the moment, I'm stuck in some or other crisis, and I don't want to hear that that is, you know, there's a reason for it. But there are reasons for things. And I think that would be not an advice, but it would be something that I picked up over the years and have listened back to in my head. Because she was right. You know, there are things that happen to you for a reason. And it's up to you to make it either good or bad. It's your internal dialogue that's so important. And so I would actually add something else to this, because I think obviously gratitude sort of defines your altitude. Gratitude is something that is so important. And I try and give that to my children as well, because I think when you realize how many things you're grateful for and should be grateful for, then magic actually happens.
Wow. Wonderful. And if I may, that resonates, that triggered in, because of my acting background, the Hamlet line, nothing is either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Yeah. I love that. Happiness is an inside job, and everything you've said since about gratitude as well. Beautiful philosophy. This is the pass the golden baton moment, please. So now you've experienced the show from within. Who would you most like to pass the golden baton along to in order to keep the golden thread of the storytelling going?
Now, this might just be very fitting because it's a baton, but I had the absolute good fortune to interview Caroline Bramwell on one of my recent episodes. And she is a ostomate like myself, but she is also a triathlete and an Ironman participant. And she actually, after diagnosis, said, no more couch potato, I'm going to change my life. And she actually learned how to swim properly. And yes, she does multiple triathlons and Ironmans throughout the year. So yes, Caroline Bramwell would be my choice.
Caroline Bramwell, did you say?
Yes. Yes, she was also featured in Lewis Minchin's book, Fearless.
Yes.
Yes, so she's featured in that book. And she works with Greg Wallace as well, because obviously he's on the health part with recipes and all that. And she makes recipes ostomy friendly. So she does a lot for us in the ostomy community. So I'd pass the baton on to her.
Lovely. And how appropriate, because Louise Minchin has also been in the Good Listening To show as one of my previous guests as well.
Yes.
Wonderful. So your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to furnish me, as I'm sure you will, with a warm introduction to Caroline Bramwell. Thank you very much. Okay, so now, inspired by Shakespeare and all the worlds of stage and all the bedded, wibbed, beerly players, because of my acting background, I can't help but introduce a bit of Shakespeare. We're going to talk about legacy now and how, when all is said and done, Raffaella Reeb Ilgenfritz, you would most like to be remembered.
I think the thing that I would like to be remembered by is that I lived fully. I lived a full life. I don't necessarily have to leave anything behind. I journal almost every day, and those journals are deeply personal. So even if I leave them behind for my children to read, they won't mean anything to them, most probably, unless they would like to read it. It's nothing that I'd... It's deeply personal, I'd say. But I think I would like to be remembered that I had a good ride. I had a good life. And I did it all, because I always said to myself, I want to one day sit back when I'm old and gray. Okay, I'm gray now already and I'm so old, but still, I want to be remembered, or I want to not have any regrets either. So yeah, I think that if that could be put in that aspect, yes, I would like to be remembered as being happy and living with no regrets.
Thank you. Sorry, that's a very, because of the death of my father very recently, that was so resonant. Thank you. I talked in his eulogy about the fact we all wish for an exhilarating roller coaster ride with a sort of handbrake slide into your grave going, what a ride. And although there's never enough time, but 87 was my dad's path and he pulled it off. But anyway, sorry, I got a tiny bit emotional there. But on with now, where can we find out all about you and your wonderful show on the internet?
Yeah, that's under my website, stomaforlife.com. That's STOMA, digit4life.com. And there you'll find all the links to my social media. And also, if you would like to get in touch and perhaps share your either bowel cancer story or ostomy story or whichever type of health condition you would want to share on there, if there's a link on there.
And wonderfully, it's part of the scape of UK Health Radio's Healthscape, where there, at last count, there are 42 presenters. Maybe there are more now, of which I'm one, but you're definitely one. And yes, you can find out. It's the world's number one talk health radio, an extraordinary resource. And congratulations to you and Johan for trailblazing that.
Thank you.
As this has been your moment in the sunshine in the Good Listening To show, Raffaella Reeb Ilgenfritz, is there anything else you'd like to say?
You know, I love your format. I like the way you did this, and actually animated me to think about things that might just be hidden, because, how often do you think about things that define you or that that shaped you? So that was really nice. I really want to thank you for that, because it sort of makes you evaluate and look within in a different way.
thank you so much. It's been such a privilege interviewing you. And also just to share with you all, there is a series strand within the show which is called Legacy Life Reflections, and very profoundly, and I'm so happy I did this 3 years ago, just before my father dipped into a bit of a crater of declining health. I got him in his halcyon days of his 80s, and I did an episode of Legacy Life Reflections with my dad, the cut and thrust being to capture the story of somebody near, dear, or close to you for posterity before it's too late. And I used exactly this format. And what was really lovely about that was I got my dad to talk about his epitaph, and I know how he most wants to be remembered. And indeed, I was able to talk about that very profoundly in the eulogy. I also found out what his deepest regret was, never learning to play the piano, and also what his greatest thing he also wishes he could have done, which is learn to be a pilot. And of course, there you are as the purser of glory with Lufthansa for 30 years. Thank you so much, Raffaella. Just in case I hogged a bit of limelight there, is there anything else you'd like to say?
No, as I said, I just wanted to thank you for the format and also for being part of the UK Health Radio family. It's it's an amazing show, and congratulations on all of them.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for watching on LinkedIn too. The website for the show is thegoodlisteningtoshow.com. I always say tune in next week for more stories from Rick Clearing. There are 7 different series strands about how you too can be my guest to get involved using the versatile format of the show. So thank you very much indeed. I've been Chris Grimes, but most importantly, this has been Raffaella Reeb-Ilgenfritz from UK Health Radio and www.stomaforlife.com. Thank you for watching.
You've been listening to The Good Listening To Show with me, Chris Grimes. If you'd like to be in the show too, or indeed gift an episode to capture the story of someone else with me as your host, then you can find out how, care of the series strands at the goodlisteningtoshow.com website. And one of these series strands is called Legacy Life Reflections. If you've been thinking about how to go about recording your life story or the life story of somebody close to you for posterity, but in a really interesting, effortless and creative way, then maybe The Good Listening To Show can help. Using the unique structure of the show, I'll be your host as together we take a trip down memory lane to record the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 of either your or their life story. And then you can decide whether you go public or private with your episode. Get in touch if you'd like to find out more. Tune in next week for more stories from The Clearing. And don't forget to subscribe and review wherever you get your podcasts.